Too slow that time, Stank Tank. Looks like we got ourselves a good old-fashioned scale.
No, we do not. Your position is untenable, Mr. Sampson. I need only to increase my force field's power to sever your brachial artery.
Yeah? Then you'd be drowning in my blood! Ha! Now who's untenable?
I have a high-velocity cannon pointed at your chest.
I could dodge it.
Hi, welcome to Venture Bros. Your host is always Brian Dressel. With me, as always, no, I didn't need to search it at all in time. I'm falling way behind. We have...
Thanks, Google.
Matt Scooby-Doo Dykes.
Where are
Scooby-Doo
you?
Yet? trying to think of him off the top of my head.
I think you might have already done Scooby-Doo, but eh.
Either way, Matt Scooby-Doo Dykes.
Ruh-roh.
I'm pretty sure I have. Like 90% sure I have, but whatever. That's your nickname. I mean, I don't ever change these every week.
No,
that'd be insane. And then back from his exceedingly long hiatus of just nothing but joy and fatherhood, we have Mr. Graham the Jetsons Mason.
Hello. Whatever their like little.
Yeah, you've definitely used Jetsons before, because I had Jetsons.
But not with me. I'm new Jetsons.
Yeah, new the. I meant the same. It's still the same thing. I just meant like the 2016 reboot that definitely came out. I'm not making that up.
I thought it was 16.
And he knows that that's my favorite show.
Of course, these are supposed to be.
It was a remake based on.
We're recording a little differently today.
Yeah.
And I don't have the computer in front of my face, so the nicknames are what they are. I'll have better ones next week. This was even supposed
not next
to be.
The week after that.
I'll find them. You might remember last week when we said that Chewie would be on this week, and then at the end of that episode when we said that our son was waking up, he most definitely did not let us record another episode, so we had to push off until this week, and luckily, Graham was able to come back, so it all worked out.
Hello, I'm here.
It was great having Chewie on. It was a very fun episode, and hopefully before this is all said and done, we can have her on again, because that was a ton of fun. But yeah. Nick, obviously, could not make it. And it's a little sad without him here. But
bye, Nick.
But if you're listening to the episode, you're still listening to him because he cut this episode. I can tell in the future.
I mean, kind of listening.
You're listening to his work.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. So he's here in spirit.
So the loudness or quietness of my voice depends on what he does in post.
And this jump cut right here, you know, the fact that you can't understand anything that I'm saying is just purely Nick fucking up. If you understood that, then Nick did not play along. All right, so this week we're talking Think Tank, one of my favorite episodes of the season because it's just got one of my favorite lines ever, and I just love the design of Think Tank. So there's a lot to kind of jump into. But before we do any of that,
you do know the episode's called Tanks for Nothing, right?
Oh, what? I'm looking at the book and it says Think Tank. My bad. Tanks for Nothing. You know what I'm talking about.
For Nothing.
It's what the file said when you downloaded it. We're recording differently this week. It's throwing me off my game. Next week I'll have it together. Maybe. Either way, Matt, can you please give us a quick breakdown on Think Tanks for Nothing Tank?
I can give you a breakdown. Can't promise it'll be quick.
Quick as you can.
Right. So the Monarch and Dr. Mrs. the Monarch's relationship is becoming slightly strained as she feels that he's neglecting his duties as an arch and just thinks that all he's doing is laying around the house doing nothing when clearly he isn't. Brock wakes up after his one-night stand with Warriana and tries sneaking out but is surprised to find her awake, working, and she's actually trying to just rush him out of her apartment. The guild turns up at Ventec Tower to retrieve Harangutan's body. And as a result of the god gas issue, Ventec's stock price drops again. Now they are going full Blue Morpho and Kano. 21 puts together a list of people they need to get rid of before they can arch Rusty. They have to retrieve the Morphomobile from the impound, though, before they can do any of that. Dr. Mrs. the Monarch tells the council about the Blue Morpho, and they all say that it can't be Blue Morpho because he's dead. So Dr. Mrs. the Monarch goes to see Harangutang's wife, Batalax, to break the news of Harangutang's death and accompanies her to collect the Harangutang from the impound. Dean is in a philosophy class run by Dr. Nidaba, and at the end of that class, Dean is in Dr. Nadaba's philosophy class, where at the end of the... try again.
Easy there, Red Hulk.
It also kind of sounded like a question there at the end, which is kind of funny.
It also kind of sounded like one of those... little Tim Allen.
And, oh, man.
God. All right, I'll try this one more time and then just move on regardless of what happens. Dean is in Dr. Nidaba's philosophy class, and as the class ends, it's revealed that he's Think Tank, the villain who is next in line to Arch Rusty, and he tells Dean to avoid being at his house that evening. Dr. Ministers the Monarch receives a video file that has Harangutang's death on, but is unable to watch it immediately as she's busy escorting Batalax to pick up the Harangutang. Think Tank manages to sneak past Brock and challenges Rusty to a game of chess, but Rusty doesn't know how to play chess. Brock then... What?
I said, of course he doesn't.
Brock then shows up and tries to fight Think Tank whilst Rusty calls the guild to complain about how Think Tank is a bit of a talker and he's not happy with him as an arch. Batalax and Dr. Mrs. the Monarch break into the impound whilst Blue Morpho and Kano are trying to get the Morphomobile out. And Dr. Mrs. the Monarch spots them and chases them through the impound. Whilst Dr. Mrs. the Monarch is searching for Blue Morpho and chasing them around the impound, Batalax finds the video of Sarangatang's murder and thinks that it's Rusty who is Blue Morpho, to which he then speeds off in the Harangutang towards Ventec Tower. With the Morphomobile taking off and flying out of the impound lot, Dr. Mrs. Monarch has Watch and Ward chase them through the streets of New York. Brock and Warriana team up to defeat Think Tank, and whilst Think Tank is trying to hail a cab outside Ventec, Batalax accidentally crashes into him, and both end up going through the same hole that Harangutang went into, and the Harangutang went into. And the Harangutang explodes. Dr. Minister of the Monarch then suspects the Blue Morpho is actually Rusty and makes Blue Morpho her priority number one.
And that's exactly where I want to start with this. And I love season 6. I love that you can watch the whole thing in one sitting, and it almost feels like just kind of one long movie with like weird kind of like pacing issues, but it still works.
Sure.
It does kind of take me out of it anytime someone's like, Rusty's the Blue Morpho. Because if anyone thinks that Rusty could do any of this, it's like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, it does seem a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But the goatee, it's a perfect fit.
I mean, he does look like him. I get that. The goatee fits. That's about it.
If the goatee fits, wear it.
He has the same, yeah, he has the same tailor.
He does.
I mean, the coincidences are just lining up here.
It's a bit of a reach. I'm okay with it because, you know, it works enough, but it is kind of like Sheila is smarter. I feel like she's smarter than to get taken over by this. And I think maybe it is just a little bit of like, there's no other evidence pointing to anyone else. I know he was a boy adventurer, so maybe he got some of that like gusto back somehow. But it still feels like a bit of a leap to me.
Yeah.
So much of it ties into it. Like, you know, the car flies over the Ventec building and disappears. It's never seen again, so it looks like it's landed in the Ventec building. The sure. Blue Morpho looks surprisingly like Rusty with the goatee and everything like that. When you see that little bit where the image flicks between the two, you can kind of see that it could be Rusty, potentially. And
I get that.
Yeah, and then like you said, he's got Brock, so it could be argued that it's actually Brock doing the killing, and he's just around.
Brock is certainly not Kano.
Yeah, like...
No, that's
he's big.
Thing. Yeah, but he's not Asian or...
Well, neither's 21.
Yeah, but 21 looks more, you know...
Like, Brock more is bigger than 21.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, Kano is bigger than everybody, but anyways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could... other than that argument of the Kano... Is it Kano or Kato?
I think it's Kato.
Okay.
Kano.
Other than the Kato argument.
I think it's
See,
Kano.
That's what I... That... Anyways.
K-Man!
Kanto.
Kramer.
Kramer. Gusto. You can make the argument that, you know, some people do, like, you know, Batman makes, you know, the superhero playboy, that combination, and maybe this is the first time we're doing superhero and incompetent super genius combination. But you're right. Other than that, it's like, yeah, but you met, like, not only do you know Dr. Venture, you've met Rusty Venture. Like,
Sheila's met
Dr. Rusty. Yeah, I don't know. But I'm saying, I mean.
Yeah, she knows senior and junior.
Yeah,
so she
but
knows,
I'm saying, like, even if you just know the heir that is Dr. Venture, right? Not Jonas, but Rusty.
Sure, yeah.
Who's now running Ventech Industries. Right. Stock prices keep falling. Right. So it's like even the public knows that he's a nincompoop.
Yeah.
So for anybody else who actually knows who he his, you know, public persona and his personal, it's too much of a stretch to be like, I don't. Could you even drive like that?
Yeah. Like, do you even know how to drive? Like, you don't even fly your own plane.
No.
You have your robot or your manservant do it. Like,
well, he does fly he does fly the new plane for like one tiny moment in the first episode, because you see Hatred shitting himself when he's taking off and he's sat in the pilot seat looking really smug.
Yeah, he can do it. That doesn't mean that he does do it. Like, it's just like it's. I'm willing to go with it because I love the show, but it is just I can't help it. Like. Sheila just has to be stuck on, the evidence says that it's him. All of my gut instincts say, follow the evidence. But every time she's ever met Rusty, all he does is try to give her a horrible cocktail and sleep with her. Like, she knows who she's dealing with.
Even in this episode.
I imagine that's what Bruce Wayne does to a lot of people.
Rusty Venture is not Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. By any stretch of the
word. No.
Anyhow, that's just kind of, I wanted to talk about that just a little bit, because as the season goes on, especially I think from this point on, when they're all kind of like, Rusty is the Blue Morpho, I just feel like I got to get that out of the way of like, I'm willing to go with it, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Because the guild has suspicion that he is Blue Morpho before she does, and she's like, no. And then she kind of reverses in this episode.
Well, she's also... by a certain point, the only one who considers the Blue Morpho a legitimate threat. And that doesn't really ring into the rest of them until after, I think, the next episode.
Well,
I don't think they really believe the Blue Morpho is back or it's the Blue Morpho at all. Because, like they said, he's dead.
Yeah. So it's not until he blows up that entire... The Monarch blows up an entire spaceship full of people. They're like, okay. Oh.
Yeah,
he might be a problem.
Okay, we get it.
But that's next week. We'll get there then. So beyond that, the other thing I want to talk about that's also just kind of like a little side B story in this thing that I think it's probably my favorite running gag of any of the episodes in the entire season, and that's Watchin' Ward's customer helpline.
Oh, God, yeah.
So good.
Especially because I feel like an idiot every time I've watched this episode. Because whenever he hands him the card, I'm like, are they really going to help him? Like, what a weird thing for the guild to do. Like, I never would have saw that. And then as soon as he calls, I immediately remember, like, oh, no, they're just fucking with him.
I was like, wow, that's quite progressive for a... But I guess, you know, you're moving forward in the 21st century. You do need customer service. And, you know, that's a leading thing for, you know, companies these days. And you're like, is he really handing him a pen? What the hell? And it's just great. It's a great setup, and it's definitely my favorite line from this episode.
It just fucking kills me, and it's just great because they like I just like love watching Ward just hanging out, and like whenever they get like their laugh together, I'm just like they're just so proud of themselves. I do kind of like, I've always had this like secret wish in the back of my head that at some point the Monarch would be like, who hench Dr. Venture? And go after Roch and Ward, but I think that's just too much of a stretch. But I would like to see them have to answer to the Mighty Monarch.
Right. But I think it would also be totally cool if Roch and Ward and Monarch and 21 all teamed up, because I think they would have the same wavelength of like how to arch Dr. Venture. I think it would be great. Just like, yeah, stealing his laundry or something.
Yeah.
Or like, I think it's next up when we go, when we do the back in time thing.
I think it's
21.
2 weeks from now.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
They were going to make his name illegal? Like, I mean, I think they were, they have the same idea of like, wait, let's set up a fake customer service line so that when he calls us, because you know he's such a boob, he's going to call a customer service line of an arch nemesis guild to complain about the service itself. And it works perfectly,
mm-hmm.
because you can't, I mean, it's just, this show is just so perfect with the setup between Roch and Ward and Dr. Venture and the Monarch of, like, they're the perfect enemies to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're just all idiots, but, like, wonderful, wonderful idiots.
I feel like Roch and Ward always kind of wanted to be, like, professional archers at some level, and they just were never going to get there, so they just get their jollies out every now and then when they can.
Yep.
Like go back to the episode, it was like, look, I made him walk. Yeah. He's got the dog on two legs. How are you doing that? I found a cheat code. Like, it just kind of feels like every now and then they get to have fun. And this is just one of those instances where it's like really, it's really low key. No one really cares. They're not doing any actual damage to anything.
Yeah. And they're still doing their normal job. They're still chauffeuring the guild around.
Yeah, they're doing everything they're supposed to do. They just happen to get to annoy the shit out of somebody for a while doing all of that.
And then as soon as like the main job, like when Dr. Mrs. the Monarch jumps into the car and's like, follow that car. They like immediately give up the little thing, just throw the phone behind them and then like get back to their job.
Yep.
Which is, again, is a brilliant bit because they were just about to give him the reference code.
The customer service number.
So that if he gets cut off and then he gets cut off and it just cuts to us going, hello, hello. Oh, I think I got cut off.
Which is like one of those like stupid things that like they did this. I don't even remember what season it was, like 2 or 3, or maybe even 1, where we like jump down to the city streets to New York and some lady is talking on her cell phone. And then it goes to, oh shit, the robot's name.
Helper.
Helper?
Like, yeah, it cuts to Helper going, beep, 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 beep. I was like, that was weird. I feel like somebody just tried to fax me. And you're like, has nothing to do with the story whatsoever. But
it's creating science is that episode. I think it's the second episode.
Yeah, I think it's super early on.
Yep.
It's because Helper keeps getting thrown out of Gargantua 1.
Yep,
and
he crashes
into like a mobile phone, satellite or something.
Crashes into a satellite. Oh, that's a great one. All right, let's dive into the actual episode itself a little bit. I want to start with Sheila and Battle Axe, and then we'll move into Think Tank and everything else beyond there. I love the Sheila and Battle Axe sequences mostly because I love professional Mrs. the Monarch.
Absolutely.
Like, she's one of my favorite, like, she's always been one of my favorite characters from the very beginning, just because I she's just a brilliant character. The voice works so great, her design is great, all of her costumes are great. Just every decision they've made almost always works. And then seeing her now, where she's finally been thrust into this position of just, like, pure power,
mm-hmm.
where she's supposed to have, like, easily should have been her whole career, or could have been if she wanted to be, because I feel like she just didn't want to be.
Right.
It's really nice seeing her there. And then seeing her have to do, like, the day-to-day, like, all right, well, I got to go knock on doors because somebody died. I got to remind their next of kin. And I just like seeing her have to do, like, the day-to-day tasks. And then, of course, because it's her, it's going to go way off the rails, and she just has to deal with it. And she's the most capable.
Yep.
So if this is this bad with her dealing with it, imagine if anyone else was in charge of it.
Yeah. She totally owns it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is great. It's totally perfect for her. And it's awesome to see her just, like, step into this role and just be who she has been the whole time. But, yeah, to think of anybody else. Phantom Limb, for one, of just jumping into this. Everyone's dead.
You remember Red Dragoon had to go deliver this news? Your husband's dead! He fell in a hole!
It was the blue morpho!
It's like a resplendent
blue tomato! You idiot!
That was my favorite. Like a resplendent blue tomato!
If there were such a thing. Yes, old friend.
So yeah, it had to be Sheila to go tell how did I forget her name?
Battle Axe.
I was just saying it. I wanted to say Tiger Tank for some reason.
Sure.
I was like, that's wrong. But yeah, and I really like Battle Axe. Like, I think she's a really fun character who, like, unfortunately, like most characters of the season, gets to stick around for one episode.
Yeah. Very quick.
But she's awesome.
Yeah. I love her quote mood swings.
Yeah. I also just love that. All right, we'll go get the Haringa tank. Just let me go put my face on.
You're like, huh? Seems kind of vain for this character.
Yeah.
And then she kicks down the door, and you're like, oh, Battle Axe, you say? Yes. Now this makes sense.
There you are.
And then once we get to the impound lot, just feel so bad about the impound lot police officer guy. Yeah.
Here's my license, and here's my registration.
I mean, how old were those things? I should be fine in like 45 minutes.
Yeah. I like he's like one of the only characters they drew in the book, too.
Yeah.
I was just kind of hanging out.
When I first walked in, I was like, who the hell is that character? Oh, yeah.
Poor guy. This episode really does just kind of shit on some of their characters. This guy and then poor Think Tank.
Yeah.
Poor Think Tank.
Like, because he gets a pretty good setup. You're like, interesting. You're like, I wonder what he's going to do. He's definitely going to do some heady stuff. You're like, oh, well, this isn't, oh, no.
No, you should have lowered your expectations. Oy. But the rest of the impound lot stuff I really like. I love Monarch and 21 in there at the same time. Like, it all just kind of has this, like really almost like zany comedy action feel to it that we don't really get a lot in this show, because the show doesn't really do a ton of action. Like, we've talked about that a lot. Like, the biggest action sequence is probably the wedding we were talking about a little bit earlier with like the David Bowie Sovereign. God. And like, that's really like the main huge action sequence, because otherwise we get little fights here and there, but for the most part it's more just actions referenced but not really shown.
Right.
Yeah. So when we get
and stuff,
so when we get a sequence like this where it's like a legit car chase and it's just crazy, it's like, it's just kind of fun to see how well they can do it. Because it feels like if they wanted to make it this sort of show, like a spy thriller, they easily have the skills to do it, and they just don't do it unless they want to, or if it works for the story, and it worked so well here. Especially going all the way up to the end where they just go down in the fucking hole again.
Everything ends up in that hole.
I also love the Haringa tank. It's a super disappointing tank.
Yeah. It's like an old school bus.
Basically just a van.
Yeah. Yeah. And they live in it.
Yeah.
But it works so perfectly.
It does.
It's like a Winnebago with armor on it.
Yeah, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we move on to the main man himself? The tank himself?
Mm. Good old Thinky.
Think Tank.
Thinky the Tank.
And I could be wrong, but he really, he's got a Hector Hammond vibe to me for you Green Lantern fans out there.
Mm.
Hey, there's plenty. There's dozens of us. Dozens!
I'll take your word for it.
But he, like, the huge, super smart guy with like a gargantuan head. Like, it's a very similar design. Even, like, the facial hair is a little similar.
Mm-hmm.
But
reference to, like, the, you know, the Brainiac.
Yeah.
And was it Brainulo?
Yeah, Brainulo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of like kind of like things mixed in there, but I really do like his character design, especially because the second you meet him, is like if you've been paying attention to the season, you kind of know, oh, we're going to get a villain, he's going to die.
Yeah.
We're going to get a villain, he's going to die. The Monarch is just going to keep failing his way to success for almost two seasons straight, but it's great.
But what else is the Venture Brothers about?
Exactly. So like this one, it just kind of feels like, oh, this guy's a legit villain. The second you meet him, as Dean's teacher, it's like, oh, there's the villain for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the second you're kind of working with him and whatnot, he's like, okay, cool. I wonder what his design's going to be. And since I know Hector Hammond, I had assumed, like, floating head sort of thing.
Right.
And then he gets his tank, and it's like, oh, buddy. You are prepared for war. And I love his little arms, like, on the side of it, just...
I love the whole thing. The tea, the chessboard.
Yeah.
The actual gun, which is just so cute.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure adorable is not what he's going for, but he achieved it.
He definitely did. I mean, come on. Purple.
Yeah. It's just kind of, that's your look, man.
It's awesome. I love the whole design. I love the character, really. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's just, it when in the class, like the way he ends the class, is like, you may now return to your unexamined lives of gravity bongs, ceaseless tweets, and date rapery.
It's just and voiced by Jeffrey Wright. I mean,
yeah,
he was
incredible. So good.
He nails it.
It's my absolute biggest complaint beyond the Rusty is clearly not a superhero. My biggest complaint is they did such a good job with all the one-off villains. It's just disappointing every episode. It's like, I only get him for one episode?
Yeah.
Damn it. Like, we'll get it more next week with...
oh, man. Doom Factory.
Yeah, the Doom Factory. It's so amazing. But Think Tank is still great in his own right, and especially because he is a prime thinking arch nemesis, and he's just so excited to finally have a super scientist to go up against so they can match wits over the classic way of doing so, a game of chess.
Showing
and Rusty wits. Doesn't even know how to play it.
Nope. Definitely more of a Parcheesi man.
It's just the way he says it. Well, I've no idea what Parcheesi is. Never
it's not
heard
chess.
It. No. It's just the way he says that. More of a Parcheesi man myself. And I just always imagine it. It's like something like Snap or something.
Yeah, like Chutes and Ladders or something like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's definitely more than that, but it's still, it's not chess.
It's not chess.
And it's just like, it's, again, one of those things of like, so important. You're like, oh man, you it's too bad you had expectations that he was going to be anything but what he is.
And I still have the book open on my desk.
Disappointed reaction as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I love the line in the book that Jackson says, like, poor Think Tank. He came to have a nice cerebral chess match, but ends up fighting another fucking meathead in Brock.
Yep.
And just that fight is brilliant with the force field of like, I win. You're in a force field. I can cut off your arm. And then I'll bleed and you'll drown in there.
I have a high velocity cannon. Punch it at your chest. I can dodge it.
I can dodge it.
Just the... BOOM!
And then 3 seconds later, you just see him going flying out of the thing. Oh, Brock,
then Warrior
didn't dodge
catches
it.
Him, and it's perfect. And then he gets destroyed.
My God, that's such a good line. Just like, I can dodge it. I fucking love Brock. He's so good.
He is incredible in the season. I mean, he's incredible always, but also in the
but
season.
Brock finally guarding a level 10 threat and getting to deal with level 10 threats is he is in his happy place.
Yeah. I was going
to
say, again, you can tell Dr. he's having so much fun.
Yeah. Like we said with Dr. Mrs. the Monarch, just seeing them at their full capacity level is like, well, at least somebody's having not really a good time, but at least they're in the right place. They're totally fitted to where they should be.
But we've been kind of chatting for a while on this one. Is there anything that we've totally missed, or should we move into favorite performances? I've hit everything I really want to talk about. Matt, Graham?
There's the bit in the Morpho Cave, which I really like, where they're just going through all the stuff as well. And like trying to figure out, he picks up the thing that they end up using to open the impound lot with, and he's like, I don't know, blew him off a back scratcher or something like that. And then,
oh yeah.
And then he's trying to figure out how they're gonna get there, and he's like, to the Morpho copter. Nope, don't have one.
Nope,
damn it. Know. What do we have? Metro cards.
Oh, 21. So good. Graham, was there anything we missed for you?
Customer service, Debbie speaking. No, I mean, that was basically it.
We our helpful up. Hate line.
All right. And I will say really quick, if you have heard a baby screaming in the background, we have both of our kids here today. So he might be picked with a mic. He might not. I could be warning you for nothing. But
yeah, my kid is loud.
Yeah, one of the kids is saying hi. I'm pretty sure it's Graham's. Pretty sure. It sounds a little young of a cry for Corin, but who knows? Could be Corin.
Yep.
I heard Corin earlier.
So. Oh. My brain is going crazy, so it's Pretty sure it's my
son. Well, there you go. All right, let's move into favorite performances. I'm going to go first, and it's going to be Patrick Warburton again. It's going to be a lot of him this season, or has been a lot of him. And this time it's all because of one line, and it all comes down to, I can dodge it. I was so close to saying Jeffrey Wright because he's perfection in this episode, but I can dodge it.
I'm going to go with Dr. Mrs. the Monarch. I mean, we've been talking about her the whole time. And yeah, I mean, her character just in this whole thing is just perfection.
Yeah.
We've been talking about just how the nailed, you know, her quips and everything in this episode is.
She's great.
Yeah.
Matt, what about you?
Jeffrey Wright for me. You know, I'm trying, like I've been saying before, I've been trying not to duplicate any of these favorite performances, so I've wanted to do a different one each time. But for me, Brock was pretty awesome, but Dr. Nadaba, the way he talks is, the way he talks.
Are you going for Gollum over there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way he talks and
we talks is about my favorite showsies.
Yeah. No, the way he talks is about everything, and the standoff with Brock is just amazing, and like the back and forth between, like, you know, like we said there with the high velocity cannon thing, and I could dodge it, and then just the way, like, he sounds so pissed off as well. He's like, "Well, I call it an unsanctioned team up. I shall report you."
Oh, poor Think Tank. He's just, and out
he's
of
just
the game.
Brilliant.
No idea.
Yeah, I think he's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move into some pluggity plug plug plugs, and then we'll say goodbye. I will say, of course, listen to everything on the ATH Network. I'm not even going to say what it is. I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. Go to ATHpod.com. Check out everything we have, because we have new content daily, and so far, it's all been really good. I'm sure there's a dud in there sooner or later, but, you know, so far, no. Awesome. Check us out.
All right.
Matt, what are you plugging?
Speaking of duds, my articles. Now, so due to unfortunate circumstances with a copy editor, my Stargate Atlantis article didn't go live. The part three didn't go live last Monday, so that'll be coming out this last Friday even. So that'll be coming out this Friday. She's all right now. She was just ill.
Hope she feels better.
Yeah, she's feeling a lot better now. But that also meant that she was unable to do the copy editing. But she's promised me that she'll get it done for this Friday, so she'll be good to go then. Nothing really else, to be honest. You just keep reading those articles, and hopefully we'll get retweeted by one of the main cast members at some point.
That'd be pretty cool.
I've had likes, but no retweets. I'm like,
if they like it so much, they should retweet it.
Yeah.
I do have one way throwback plug for Mr. Nick Friedman. He really undersold his game the whole time when we were first starting the show out. He's like, yeah, you know, I guess play Assassin's Creed if you want to. It's out there. He way undersold it. I finally started playing it. Nick was wrong about his own thing. It wasn't one of those, like, play it if you want to. You should play it. You should absolutely play it. It's fucking awesome. He had me, my expectations were so low on his, you know, the voices are good, you know, if you like it, you like it. My God, it's an awesome game. Fucking Nick. Stupid, talented Nick.
Yep, but that's Nick. That's Nick all over.
That's Nick all over.
And he single-handedly made that game, didn't he?
I didn't know it was just by one guy. The credits are super short. Just
yeah.
Nick. Nick F.
Yeah, not even his full last name. It was totally weird. Very humble guy.
Nick
Very
F.
humble.
And then the next frame is, you're welcome.
And then, oddly enough, his email.
Then his home address. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Yeah. You're out of your mind.
But, that's how he gets his work. So.
All right, we've ran out of gas. We're going to say goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week when we discuss, what's the name of the episode?
It Happening One Night.
It Happening One Night. Totally excited for that.
Very.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.